Today, we get to hear Ricardo preach. Now, if you've been around Elam long enough, you know that one of the things Pastor Bill modeled for us and led the way on was training and bringing up young men for the ministry, and I hope to continue that as well. And so today is another step forward in that direction. And so if you haven't met him, this is Ricardo. He is an apprentice. He graduated from Elam Bible Institute after 3 years. He's from Mexico, as I'm sure that you've known, or you'll gather from his accent. But nonetheless, I invite you to welcome Ricardo this morning.
Hello, good morning. This is going to be a little bit nerve-wracking, so you'll have to deal with me as maybe I stumble through some words or something like that. Okay, as Pastor Jonathan said, I'm Ricardo. I was born in Mexico. I lived there my whole life until I was 18. And when I was 18, I moved to Lima, New York, to study at Elam Bible Institute for 3 years. And after that, I found myself in Oswego. And I love Oswego. It's really great. But different than Pastor Jonathan, I'm not that excited for the snow. I come from a city where our winter is 80, 90s. So it's like, and until now, every winter, I have gone back to Mexico for a month or two. This is going to be my first December, January that I'm going to be here. So it's, pray for me, if you will, because it's definitely going to be a new experience. Okay, if you have your Bible, I would like to go to Genesis 35, 1 to 3. It's also going to be on the screen. So it's going to be Genesis 35, 1 to 3. If you are taking notes, the title of this preaching is going to be Lose the Fight. And I'll explain that as we go. But it's Genesis 35, verse 1 to 3. I'm going to read it. Then God said to Jacob, "Get ready and move to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob told everyone in his household, "Get rid of all the pagan idols, purify yourselves, and put on clean clothing. We are now going to Bethel, where I will build an altar to the God who answered my prayers when I was in distress. He has been with me wherever I have gone." Lord, in this morning, I ask you to please put your words in my mouth. I don't want to be the one who's speaking. I don't want to be the one who's preaching. I want you to preach, you to speak to the people through my mouth. I ask you to please take off all stress or whatever wants to rob from this moment. And right now I'm telling you, God, I don't care if I make a fool of myself, if that brings you glory and if that sends the message that you want to bring this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. So some of you might know, but not everybody knows. When I was a kid, I was chubby. What I'm calling fat, what I'm calling like really big. And it's okay, don't say, "Oh, poor kid," because I didn't know that. I honestly didn't know that I was chubby. But I have a picture here of how, this is not the fullest of my potential. I couldn't find the picture. So there's a close-up there. Yeah, just in case you missed it in the back. I was really, really big. I love chips. I love all of that stuff. But I think I have come to the conclusion that one of the biggest reasons why I was this chubby was because I was a cheater. And what I'm going to explain is this. My dad, he will send me to go for chips or for the whole family, like buy whatever bags of chips. And what I will do is I will run to the store, and in the half of the time that it will take me to walk. So I will run there, I will get there soon, and I will always buy an extra bag of chips. Now, I will eat that as soon as I can, and I will be eating it on the way back. I will throw the garbage somewhere, And when I get home, I still have the chips for the whole family, including me. But he didn't know that I already ate on my way there. And sometimes I wouldn't eat one, but I would eat one or two. So I was really chubby for that reason. Another way I was a cheater, I have two little sisters. They are skinny girls. So my dad will buy chips for everybody, right? And my purpose, my goal, was to finish mine as quick as possible. So then we can play some games with my sisters, like feed the puppy, and I was the puppy, or like your brother is hungry, or like Ricardo says, or something like that. And I will find out a way to cheat for me to get more chips. And that, I think that's honestly one of the reasons why I got so fat. Honestly, that only lasted till my dad started noticing that I gained 10 pounds in 1 month. And then something had to stop. But what I wanted to say is that I, in a sense, I was a cheater. And the story we're going to talk about today, the person we're going to talk today, is a person who lived his whole life being a cheater. And this is the story of Jacob. Some of you may know it, some of you may not. I'm going to explain a little bit of his general life. His father was Isaac. His mother was Rebecca. And Rebecca couldn't have kids. She prayed to God, and God let her get pregnant. And there were two little boys in her womb. But she was suffering a lot because they were literally fighting on her womb. So the day comes when she's going to give birth, and they pull Esau first. And something you need to understand about the people in the Old Testament is that they will name their kids. I think in our society, we want to name the kids of what we hope them become. So my second name is Isaac, which means laugh. I think my mom wanted me to be a happy person, something like that. But in the Old Testament, they put the names of the thing they are right when they come out of the womb. So they pull out Esau, and they see that he's really, really hairy. A hairy baby, he's redhead, so they call him Esau, which means red. So literally like that, just like that. And when they pull Esau, Jacob was grabbing his ankle, I think, his heel. And they call him the heel grabber or something, the one who holds the heel, something like that. Forgive my English, but that also means cheater. So they will imagine they do this on. Imagine they do that today. How awful will I be? Imagine they pull me out of the womb and I poop myself, and now my name is poop or something like that. That will be awful. Thank God that now we are putting names of what we hope they become, not what they are right when they come. Or imagine I was an ugly baby, ugly, and now my whole life, I'm carrying that name. And sometimes it will be just a name, but for some people, that will actually make a difference on their life. And that's what happened to Jacob. Jacob was called a cheater, and his name, cheater, that defined his whole life. First, I want to apologize if there is someone called Jacob. If they ask you the meaning of your name, you can say the one who grabs the heel. The other meaning, you don't need to say cheater. But his name, that's what it meant. Now, throughout his whole life, and at the beginning of his life and throughout his whole life, cheater was something that defined him, was an action that he became part of. So when in Israel, in the Old Testament, the firstborn had the right to a double inheritance and for become the priest. It has many things, and it will be called a birthright, and it will be given to the first son. And Jacob was the second. So he found a way to cheat his brother to give him his birthright. Later on, we found out that he cheated his father to give him the blessing of the firstborn, which was two different things. So he took the birthright, then he took the blessing of the firstborn, which was just crazy how he stole it. He actually had to put sheepskin over his body. So when his dad touched him, it could feel that it was a hairy man like Esau. His dad was blind. That's why he couldn't see. But the fact is that he was pushing, he was cheating all the way throughout his life. And that was something that defined him. After he cheats for the blessing of the firstborn, his brother said, that's enough. His brother got really, really mad because that blessing was supposed to be for him. And in the Old Testament, they only could give that blessing once. So when Jacob comes, he says, you're going to rule over your brothers. And then when Esau comes, he says, Dad, give me my blessing. And he's like, I already gave it to you. And he's like, no, you didn't. And he's like, oh, okay. And he cannot pronounce the same blessing. So now he says, you're going to serve your brothers. So he was furious. And I can imagine why, because that defined his whole life and his generations ahead. He was so mad. And Jacob knew this. And Rebekah, the mother of Jacob, told him, you have to run before your brother catches you and he's going to kill you. There was no talking, no nothing. He was going to kill him. So Jacob goes on his way, and he goes to this place. In that moment, was called Luz. But when he goes there, he sleeps, and God gave him a dream. In this dream, there were angels coming up and down a ladder. And then he heard the voice of God saying that he will be with him, he will protect him, and that he will bring him back to the land from where he's living. So Jacob wakes up from this dream, and this is what he said. It's Genesis 28, chapter 28, verses 20 to 21. He says, then Jacob made this vow, if God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. Now, I'm going to do a little interaction here with you, and I ask you to follow me. I'm going to read your mind this morning. Now, don't get all crazy. It is a trick. It's not magic. Don't hang me, please. I'm going to attempt to read your mind, but I need everybody to help me, okay? And I'm going to read, I guess, like a corporate mind. I don't know how this works. But I want you to imagine a number from 1 to 10. It can be any number. Just a number from 1 to 10. You tell me when you have it? Yes? Okay. Now I want you to multiply it by 2. Okay? It's not that hard. I want you to add 8. Okay, good. Now I want you to divide it by 2. And now I want you to subtract the number you imagined at the beginning. You have the number? Yeah? Okay, now 1 is A, 2 is B, 3 is C, and then on. So you're going to find a letter that goes with the number you kept. You know the letter? Yeah? Okay. Now, quickly, I want you to think on the on the country that starts with that letter. One country that starts with that letter. You got it? Has to be quickly. Okay. Now, whatever was the letter you had, the next letter, I want you to first, you know what is the next letter of the, okay. Now, I want you to think of an animal. Quickly. You got it? Okay. And now I want you to think on the color of the animal. Okay. So everybody could get different numbers, different letters, different countries. Now, what if I told you that I could read your mind? What if I told you? Most of you will think I'm crazy. But some of you will actually say, okay, then show me. Let me know. Okay, then see to believe, right? And no, I don't think there is gray elephants in Denmark, but most of you will think I'm crazy. But if I show you that I'm right, then you'll say, okay, now I believe it. You can read minds, hang him or something like that. I hope not. But This is what happened to Jacob. God is saying to him, this is what is going to happen. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to cover you. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to bring you back. And this is what Jacob answered. He's like, okay. If you protect me, if you are with me, if you bring me back, then you will be my God. He put a conditioner there. He's like, if you do what you said you're going to do, then you will be my God. And God is saying, God is having patience at this moment, and he kind of just let it go. Now, Jacob goes on with his trip, believing what God says. But I don't know if believing fully of what he said. He believed on God to a certain ratio, to a certain possibility, but he didn't go. I don't think he fully believed in him. So Jacob goes to the land of Laban. Laban is who is going to become his father-in-law. And throughout his time there with Laban. Throughout his time there with Laban, he's still pushing to survive. He's still striving to survive. He's doing things with his own. And then it comes to a point he sees the daughter of Laban, and he falls in love. And then something I was noticing yesterday is like sometimes when we preach about this and when we talk about this, it's like, oh, because Jacob said, I'm going to work 7 years for Rachel. And I think most of us are like, oh, so romantic. Yes, he's going to work 7 years. You didn't even work for 2 months for me. as I was thinking on it yesterday, it's like his father, Isaac, when he got his wife, he sent someone, and that someone said, God told me that you will be the wife of Isaac. And it will be easy. They will trust, and then the wife will say, okay, it's God who is guiding me this way. And then they will go. But Jacob, throughout his whole life, he had this mentality. I have to fight for what I want. I have to work for what I want. I have to strive to survive. So he comes for his wife, and he cannot even imagine that it will be given to him freely. So he said, I'm going to work for her 7 years. Now, he works for 7 years, and then the wedding night happens, and what happens is that he actually married the oldest daughter. His dad tricked him, and he gave him the older daughter called Leah. And he said, what happened? You tricked me. And he said, and the father said, we have to give the oldest daughter before we give the youngest. So then he said, end up the honeymoon with her, and now I'm going to give you Rachel, but you're going to have to work another 7 years. Now the cheater is being cheated. Then after that happens, you can see how he pushed himself into marriage. And also, after those 14 years happen, you can also notice how he's pushing himself through wealth, to wealth. He wanted to become a man of wealth, and he's pushing himself again. He cheats his father-in-law. He cheats to make more of the strongest sheep his own and the weaker sheep to his father-in-law. So throughout his whole life, he's pushing. And that's, in a sense, all he knows how to do. His family becomes a family of pushers. His wives started a competition to see who can have more children in order to please their husband. So they will have children, and they will put the names I have these children because my husband will love me, and things like that. And it's like, I'm like, oh God, poor children. Like, they have to carry those names their whole life. Or I was lucky. It came to a point when they have to push themselves so much that they even gave their servants to Jacob so they could have more children through their servants. Like, this went crazy. And then, like, one of the kids, the name of the kids was God gave me this child because I gave my servant to my husband. And I'm like, what? That's just crazy to think. Then 20 years later, since the moment that he left Bethel, 20 years have gone, 14 years working for his wives, and then 6 years or so just working for his wealth. 20 years have passed, and God tells him, you have to go back. I'm going to be with you, so go back to the land that I bring you from. And Jacob is finally going to accomplish his dream. Jacob is finally get what he's been working for so long. He's finally there. He's like almost grasping it. And on his way, back, his father-in-law pursued him to try to bring him back. His daughter got raped. And because of that, the sons of Jacob, kill an entire town because of their sister got raped. So all of this, he's like finally seeing the ending of his dream. And he's like almost about to reach it. And he comes to a place called Penuel, something. Forgive my pronunciation if it's wrong, but I think the name is Penuel. And he comes to this place, the Bible says that he fights with the angel of the Lord. Now, in some theological studies says that the Old Testament, when they will say the angel of the Lord, like a sentence, like a name, they will be referring to God. Because every other angel, when people worship them, they will say, no, don't worship me. But the angel of the Lord will let them. So that leads some theologians to believe that it was talking about God. And I want you to imagine, I think it's easier to imagine, at least it was for me, like a wrestling match. Jacob comes and he sees this guy and he starts fighting. He's fighting and he's just pushing, he's not giving up. They've been fighting all the night and he's still there. And it comes to a point when he would surrender that he even got injured. Now, I'm going to tell a story. When I was in college 2 years ago, I love to wrestle. And I hope that doesn't change who I am in some of your minds. But I love to wrestle. Not fighting, wrestle. In Elam, we don't have any sports team. We don't have any soccer team or something like that. So I have to take out my testosterone somehow. So I decided that way will be wrestling. So me and my friends will gather at night and we will wrestle for a couple of minutes just to let it all out. We will not get mad at each other because it was all fun and it was all just wrestling. And one day during a week of prayer, we have a week specifically to pray, we did our biggest match of wrestling. It was 10 guys versus 10 guys. People that had never fought with us, they were there. 10 guys versus 10 guys. We have 3 cameramen, 1 referee. We had everything. Like, it was crazy. We all went to the football field, and the people from the cafeteria, they were all watching. So it was a big match, and I'm in this match, and I'm not the best fighter, but I'm also not the worst. So here we were. We were about to go round 1, 10 people versus 10 people, and then the biggest guy, and by biggest I mean like really big, really strong, the strongest guy of the school. He plays hockey. His whole day he spends in the gym. I spend it eating chips and watching Netflix. He becomes and he puts it and he's in front of me and he's just staring at me. And I'm like, oh God, please. He's just staring at me. He's there and I know he's going for me. And I'm like, oh God, I give you my soul. I rest in peace. I give everything I have. Oh. So I see him there. That guy is like huge. I have never fought with him. He honestly scares me. They say go, and I just stand there. I was petrified. And then this guy comes and he tackles me. Now, the way he tackled me, he was big, but he didn't know how to fight, because the way he tackled me is like the worst way you can do it. Because right when he tackled me, I locked his head. Now, I don't know how I did it. Reaction, I don't know. But I locked his head and I locked him with my legs. Now, after that, he couldn't move. And he came to a point when he had to surrender, because I had him. I had him. And if not, he was going to pass out. So now I want you to imagine me. Like, that happens, and my ego grows. Like, now I'm like, no one can ever defeat me. You understand? It's like, I just defeated the biggest guy in the school. It's like, everyone else can just, it's like, I'm the best. Like, I'm thinking, like, I'm the best at wrestling. I'm going to wrestle Mayweather next week, and it's going to be fine. And, like, my ego is all of this, and then they say second round. Now, this guy finds another guy, and now another guy comes. This was the biggest guy also, but this was not the biggest, but the biggest. He was really big. I want to say like 300 pounds, maybe more. And he has never fought. I have never seen him run anything. He's just there standing at me, and he looks at me, and I'm like already, I'm like super, I'm like the best fighter now, and I'm like already there. They say charge, and I have never seen this guy run, and he was running. And I just stand there because I'm like, I'm going to do the same thing he did. As soon as he touches me, I just hear, and it was my ankle. My ankle stayed in the floor as I was taking 300 pounds of power. And I was in the floor, but I got to do the same thing. I had his head on a lock. And I was there, and I didn't want to give up because I was like, I'm not going to lose against him. But, like, my ankle was broke, and I could feel it. And there was rush, but not enough. I was still in a lot of pain. And all of that carried to a point when I had to choose to still give up. And I tell him, I had his head on the lock. I let it go, and I said, like, I'm done. I hurt myself. I had to be in a cast for a long time. I had to have surgery. Now I have titanium in my ankle. But it was a really big injury. But I still didn't want to give up. I still thought I could carry on. I was a fighter. I didn't want to surrender. So the same thing, imagine the same thing happened to Jacob. He was fighting, and his ankle broke. Well, in his case, it was his hip. But imagine it like me. And he was injured, and he wouldn't still give up. He will still be fighting there. And he will say, I'm not going to give up. Bless me. And the other guy says, okay, your name is not going to be Jacob anymore. Your name now is going to be Israel. Now, Israel is a name that is conformed by two words. One word is wrestling, and the other one was God. I can imagine Jacob at that moment when he gave him that name. He's thinking, I wrestle with God. I got him. It's like, maybe it didn't win, maybe it got injured, but I wrestled with God. And he gave me his blessing because I wrestled with God. Until this point, Jacob thinks that everything that has happened is because of his effort. Until this point, Jacob thinks that he has been pushing himself through situations, and that's why he's here. He even pushed himself through God so he could bless him. So he doesn't think it's God who has done all of this. He thinks it's himself, his effort, his talent, his ego. It's all because of him that he's at that point. And if it wasn't because of him, then he wouldn't be there. Then he wouldn't be going back and finally fulfill his dream. And then that's when God spoke to him one last time before he got back to that land. He spoke to him just right before he was about to fulfill his dream. And in Genesis 35:1, we see what God tells Jacob. And he says, then God said to Jacob, get ready and move to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. That's it. I'm going to go to the next one in a little bit. But he said, go back to Bethel. Go back to the place where everything started. go back to that place where I first called you and when I told you I was going to protect you. And remember who is the one who has been with you. Remember who is the one that has carried you. Remember who is the one that has been protecting you, taking care of you, bringing out of situations. I imagine God saying, him, oh, do you remember that time when you worked 7 years for your wife? I gave you that wife. Oh, remember how you fought so hard to get that wealth? I was the one blessing you so you could prosper. Oh, remember that time when you got out of that bad situation? I was there with you. Oh, remember when you got this? Remember when you got that? I was there in every step. Guess what? I've been there all the time. And Jacob, at this moment, he's faced with a decision. He can either surrender and said, it was you, God, who gave me everything, or he can keep fighting and believing that everything he had was the fruit of his hands. So Jacob is here, and he's faced with this decision. This decision that he should have made from the first time he was in Bethel. He's faced with it again. And sometimes we remember the promises that God gave to us, but we think that in order to accomplish those promises, we still have to fight. We still have to do it on our efforts. So then Jacob comes to this decision, and in the next verse, we see what he says. So Jacob told everyone in his household, get rid of all your pagan idols and purify yourselves and put on clean clothing. The next one. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm going to read just what is next. We're going now to Bethel, where I will build an altar to the God who answered my prayers when I was in distress. He has been with me wherever I have gone. I just put half up there, but that's the whole verse. He's saying, okay, God, I choose to surrender. I know that I thought that I was here, and then I pushed through this situation, and I got farther in life, and then I push again, and I farther, and then I push again. But I know that if I'm here, it's because you were with me here, and you were with me here, and you were with me here. And it wasn't because of me, it wasn't because of what I did, but because of what you did. I'm not here because of what I could have done. I'm not here because of my efforts. I'm not here because I'm so cool or I'm the best or I have talents. I'm here because you have been faithful. I'm here because you have always taken care of me. And this is easy for some people to admit, but for some people who have been fighting their whole life to survive, it's hard to think on that. It's hard to think that it's God who has been taking care of you your whole life. It's hard to think that he's the one who pulled you out of your bad situation when you think you were the one who fought through. And that's when it becomes hard. And this is not only for people who fought, but also for people who had things in life, for people who went to a really good college, and they think, oh, I came out of there with good scores because of how much I studied. Oh, I got this job because I'm really good at what I do. And God is saying, surrender. Recognize that it's me. See that it was me, the one who brought you out of there. And something amazing that happens is that the first time Jacob wrestles with God, God tells him, your name is not going to be Jacob, it's going to be Israel. And I think he thought, okay, this is a medal because I was a fighter. But then as we go on and he goes back to Bethel, God is saying, again, your name is going to be Israel, not Jacob. And I stayed to think, why did he have to say it twice? Why wasn't one time enough? Every other person that he renamed, he told them once, your name is going to be Abraham. Your name is going to be Sarah. But with him, he had to tell him twice, your name is going to be Israel. And I think it was because he didn't understand the meaning of what Israel meant. So I went, I was like, what does this mean? And I went into looking more deep into this word, Israel. And Israel is, again, formed by two words, wrestling and God. And that's how it works on Hebrew. We don't have words. We don't have wrestling with God. We just have wrestle and God. So we see these two words, and I was reading more into it, and I think wrestle with God is about interpretation. Because then when I look forward into this, it says that the meaning of Israel is God fights, God prevails, God wins. It's not about me wrestling. It's not about me being a fighter. It's not about how cool I am and how far I can go in my own. But it's about what God did. It's about how far He brought me from that place where I was in my darkest point, and He came to me and He said, I'm going to bring you back. It's going to be okay. I'm going to be with you. You're not alone in this. It's not because you're going to fight, but because I'm going to fight for you. It's not what you've done. It's not that you deserve it, but I die so you are the one who receives my life. You're not here because of your efforts. None of us is here because of our efforts. And I feel that now we're faced with a decision that some of us had to take that decision a long time ago, but we kept postponing it. And this decision is faith in front of us, and is, are you going to choose to think that you are here because of you, that you are the fighter, or are you going to choose to surrender and believe that I am the fighter, that I am the one who wins, that I am the one who prevails? Are you going to recognize God's favor, God's grace, God's love, God's power in your life? Or are you going to still think that it was because of you? And we all feed on this. I don't think there is someone who hasn't thought that they are here because of what they did. That's how the world pushes us to think. They say, if you're good enough, then you're going to achieve what your dreams. If you work hard enough, then you're going to achieve your dreams. If you dream big enough, then you're going to accomplish great things. But God is saying, it was me. It was me all along. And yesterday, at the end, after I was studying, I was like, God, what if Jacob never fought for himself? What would have happened if he took that decision since the beginning? And God led me again to read the first passages that are talking about Jacob. And He said that on the moment of his birth, God was saying to Rebecca, he is going to be the one over. He is going to be the one. His brothers are going to serve him. So since the moment of his birth, Jacob was already chosen. Since the moment of his birth, God already had a plan for him. And in this moment, God wants to let you know that since the moment you were born, God had a plan for you. Since the moment you were born, God knew what were the situations on your life, and He knew He was going to be there the whole time. He was going to be the one carrying you through it. He was be the one who was going to hold you on His hand and read you victorious on the other side. I would like to ask you to stand up. Now, I cannot make this decision for you. This is a decision that everybody has to make. But I want you to look back in your life at this moment. I want you to look back throughout the hard situations, throughout all your good accomplishments. And I want you to think and come to a point when you recognize it was God. It wasn't me. It wasn't my luck. It wasn't how good I am. But it was God. It's not because I was pushing myself. And God, if I was pushing myself, then I want to stop. If I was fighting for my life, then I want to stop. I want to surrender, and I accept that you are fighting for me. That you are the one fighting for me. That you are the one bringing me to those situations. God, this morning, I pray for all of us who have been pushing
through situations. I have been pushing through situations, thinking that I am where I am because I'm so good, or I am where I am because I have worked hard, or things that I want to accomplish, and I'm already thinking and pushing myself through it. And in this moment, I just want to surrender all of that. I want to surrender my fighting. I want to surrender my wrestling. I want to surrender my pushing. And I just want to lay there and recognize and worship you and recognize that it was you. I wouldn't be here if it was just because of me. I'm here because you have brought me here. And with that mentality, I want to live the rest of my life. Surrender everything I do, knowing that you have everything in your hand and everything in control. And when hard situations come and I want to push myself again, I ask you to remind me of what you have done in my life. Remind me how great you have been. And to let me surrender once again. We're here to surrender our hearts, to surrender our lives, to surrender our souls. We give you everything. And we are thankful for your heart that has been with us since the moment we were born. Through our good situations and also through bad situations. We thank you because you fight, you prevail, and you win. In your name, I pray.